You are listening to Look Who's Talking. I am Cameron Minter, and I am your co-host. And our wonderful Head Start director, Jessica Coffey, is our host. What is going on, Jessica?
Cam, it's been a minute.
It has been a minute. You have been a naughty little girl.
Who? How?
You haven't been here. I work here. I'm here all the time.
Listen, I've been here for other things.
Oh, well,
I'm trying to get stuff done.
Yeah, keep doing your job.
Okay. Okay.
Everybody's job is Head Start, right?
If you understand how many gray hairs I have right now, not hairs, hers.
Hers.
It's hers.
I understand. Yeah. What's going on with you?
Listen, I am ready for Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Because sis is going to eat a lot.
Well, we're not.
But guess what? I haven't put my Christmas trees up. Remember that whole debacle last year we were talking
about?
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't put my Christmas
trees up. I won that battle last year.
Uh-huh.
With not putting up my Christmas tree until the week of Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And then my entire family was sick.
Oh,
and so we missed Thanksgiving.
Your holiday was not holiday.
And then Christmas, my family was sick. So
that sucks. Well, hopefully this time is going to be great.
Now, this is the first. Well, this show will be airing in January.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's just talk about some food.
Well, yeah. Oh, what food you want to talk about? Because I'm good.
You good with it?
Because I'm hungry.
You are the connoisseur of restaurants.
Yes. I love food.
I
dream about food.
Yeah. Before I go, I'm asking you.
Yeah.
You been and what's it about?
You know, the only reason I'm on TikTok to look up restaurants.
My God.
Listen,
see,
me
it ain't
and
so.
The love I have for food is probably... Well, an obsession, probably.
What?
It is.
That's a problem. That's a problem.
You know, I went to school for nutrition.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so you're trying to make it match.
I'm trying to make it match.
I got you.
That doesn't mean I always tell people the right thing to do. Because sometimes if you're craving something, just have a little bit of it.
That's right. There's some self-control.
Yeah.
Just have a little self-control.
Well, that's the problem. Self-control. People usually don't have self-control.
But see, you working out. You're back to working out.
Oh, my gosh, Cameron.
I see you doing your thing.
Since you're bringing up working out.
Uh-oh.
My left leg.
Uh-oh.
It's been hurting.
It done got to you.
Oh, my gosh.
Hercules.
Oh, my gosh. There needs to be a manuscript, like... This is what happened when you turned 20. This is what happened when you turned 30.
That's exactly where I was going to go.
40?
Mm-hmm.
Baby.
Yeah. You got your cup of water by the bedside yet?
Oh, yeah. Every night.
You're fully in.
That's
it.
Every night I get up about 3:20.
Come on.
Not 3 o'clock, 3:20.
Don't you hate it?
To go use the bathroom.
Don't you hate it?
Then I woke up this morning and my leg was hurt.
I've already been there, and I can tell you.
The random body parts hurting. I think I called my daddy, and I said, Daddy, I think I got arthritis in my hand.
Look, listen. Let me tell you, when I wake up and have pains, and they don't go away, and I go to the doctor, and the doctor's like, what caused this? Did you fall? Did you exert it? No, I'm just fat.
That's the only thing I say. It's old. I looked up my leg symptoms, and I got piriformis. I got piriformis disease.
Don't do that. Don't be comedian.
I got
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Got something.
Don't look up
it's
stuff.
It's not right.
Don't do it.
I looked it up, and I need to go. I need to go to the doctor.
Well, okay. Now, the doctor's going to get all your money.
True, but guess what? I love my doctor because I'd be like, girl, my finger hurt. And she said, let's take blood. And I'd be like, yes.
Wow.
I want you to take my blood.
You're spending that money.
Right.
Crazy.
You're not doing anything if you have not taken my blood.
Wow.
I really feel that way.
You are really in it. Okay. All right.
I really feel it.
I pray.
Take my blood.
With all of this negativity, I pray that you have a good word for us in the coffee break.
Okay.
I think it's time for a coffee break.
Well, thank you, Reverend. Okay, so for today's You know what? It's not a word of the day. It's just a...
This is a coffee break.
The coffee break. All I want to say is every day you decide to feel how you feel, how to treat others, and what kind of person you want to be. Your attitude, happiness, and kindness are in your hands. So choose wisely, because choices define who you are. Your choices define who you are.
Wow.
So, you know, we were having a great conversation yesterday in my office, and I'm just so proud of my staff.
Okay.
They have been so positive.
Okay.
And it was just like a...
Yeah, you've been getting on me. Don't you come with a negative attitude, neither. Okay.
Exactly. Because guess what? Like, say if I'm having a bad day or came in with an attitude, somehow, some way, that's going to affect you.
It is. It is.
And I think that's important to understand that how we are affects other people.
Yes.
Whether it's good or bad, everybody has bad days, but we can choose to have a good day.
And you're going to make me put my pastor hat on.
Oh,
so.
Come on. What you got?
Know, we as Christians, we believe that we are not thermostats.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a thermostat would tell you what's going on in the room, right?
Yeah.
It'll gauge the temperature of the room.
Mm-hmm.
No, the thermostat will change the temperature in the room. We're thermostats.
Mm-hmm.
We're not thermometers. Thermometers will gauge what's in the room and deal with what's in the room. But a thermostat will change it.
Mm-hmm.
When I come into the room, no matter what's going on, my energy is what I want to exert in that place.
Okay.
So I'm going to be a thermostat instead of a thermometer.
Well, I think I'm a thermometer and a thermostat.
No. See, when you're a thermometer, you just come in, you sit down, and whatever's going on, you just deal with.
Now, I'm gauging the temperature, and I'm acting accordingly.
Wow. Just throw the word. Just give it here. Just throw it on out the window. Just... Lord, help us.
No, but guess what? We have a great show today.
Yes, yes, yes.
I am excited about our show. We are talking about books, specifically black children in books.
Get those words out. Get those words out.
I know.
Try it again.
There is an exciting week that I was a part of last year, being able to read books to children. And y'all, I don't like to read.
Mm-hmm.
That is something like in elementary school I struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
And even today, like I tried to force myself to read.
Mm-hmm.
I was more of the, what does worm do if I cut it in half? Give me some dirt. Like science and math were my thing. But I'm excited to introduce us to two amazing ladies, Asana McMullen and Amber Anthony. How are you all?
Welcome to the show. Y'all, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad that you're here. We're glad we're talking about this topic. And we're just so excited about what you have to bring to the table.
Yes, thank you for inviting us. Thank you for having
us. So, well, my first question is, how did you all get into, you know, developing this week, this I don't know what you call it, because it has
this movement.
Organization, because it has evolved.
It has.
Over the year.
So I'll start, give the backstory, and then let Amber take it from there. I started a book club in 2017, and it was, because I loved reading. I'm not like you. I don't want to cut the worms up, right? But I want to read about the worms.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always loved reading. Mm-hmm. But after my aunt passed in 2016, I had a hard time reading. Like, I just had a hard time just really escaping and getting back into that. And so I figured, you know, what better way than to be held accountable than to have other people hold me accountable in this mm-hmm. book club. So I started up in 2017, and we read a few books, but we were unable to meet up because people were grown. Just, our schedules are
That's
crazy.
Right.
And so it kind of tinkered off a little bit. And then last year, I saw a lot of chatter about it on social media, mm-hmm. book clubs. And I'm like, you know, we're going to give this a try again.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started up. We read one book a month. We meet up once a month. We have had great turnout in attendance and participation. And so then, Amber, you tell your story about.
So I see Asana's book club and saw a writer. I'm like, I'm interested. I go to the first two meetings. In the third meeting, I'm actually the book club host. and so we hosted at International Book Project. And I had seen Black Children's Book Week being sponsored on Instagram. And I kept wondering, like, Mm-hmm. What is this? So kind of looked into it and saw that we could kind of like do our own thing. So I brought it to the book club meeting. I was like, would anyone want to try to take this on with me? And Asana was like, I would. And so we kind of had that mini conversation there. And while having the conversation, the executive director of International Book Project overheard us conversating and offered her space.
Oh,
and
wow.
So it literally fruited in one night. And so we looked at each other and we were like, okay, we have a space. We have a cause. Let's do it. And so we put our feet down on the ground, started working, started reaching out to, you know, different vendors, what we wanted. And we literally put together our inaugural Black Children's Book Week within a 3-week period of time.
You're giving us too much time. Amber, it was like 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So exactly what is it? Exactly what is it?
Yeah. So Black Children's Book Week was created by Veronica Chapman. And we do not know her, but this is, she's clearly sponsored her post in the right way because it reached Amber and reached Lexington. And it is a celebration to celebrate Black authors and books about Black children. It also, Black Baby Books gives the ease of finding those particular books. Mm-hmm. So they list those books so that you can find them, because sometimes you'll find that just because a book has featured Black children and that's, you know, the prominent character does not necessarily mean that they're
the
Black authored, right?
Gotcha.
Or even the illustrator. So it's really just a week to promote that in literacy, mm-hmm. but also to bring awareness to the low numbers of representation for Black children in books and mm-hmm. Black authors as well. So only 14.4% of all books feature one Black character, and that could be in text or writing. So they could be on the cover of the book and not featured anywhere in the book, and they still count in that 14.4%.
Oh, wow. Mm. I didn't know that.
Even though that 14.4% is still very low.
Yeah.
And so that is pretty much the week. And Amber and I both have four-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And whenever I would go out to book club meetings, my son is always like, Mommy, I want to go. Mm-hmm. I want to go. And so I thought about a toddler book club. So mm-hmm. when Amber brought this to us, I'm like, oh, this is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So we celebrated it this year. By the time you all hear this, it will be last year. we celebrated it for the first time in 2024. And we decided that 7 days just wasn't enough.
Yeah.
There were things that we could do. We had the capacity. We had the reach to elongate this celebration to be a program, an mm-hmm. organization where we can place touches into the community more than just that week throughout the year.
And luckily, we've been fortunate enough to have great community partners mm-hmm. who really actually believe in the power of literacy and mm-hmm. representation that could hold. We also believe that literacy is what helps children grow empathy. And so, you know, without being able to see someone different than you within the pages of a text, it's really hard to build an emotion towards that person and mm-hmm. really see them as people. And so luckily, with the help of the International Book Project, with the Carnegie Center here mm-hmm. in Lexington, and we've really been able to touch the community on a monthly basis since September. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so in September, we did Family Fun Night with the Carnegie Center. We hosted about 30 families.
Yeah.
Gave away, we read two books, Change Things by Amanda Gorman and Why Not You by Sierra and Russell Wilson. And each child got to take home that book. Well, each family got to take home mm-hmm. both of those books. We did an interactive and comprehensive activity afterwards. And then in October, we were able to do a spooky story time in Louisville, Kentucky with another nonprofit. And we were able to get books for every child there donated by Carmichael's mm-hmm. Bookstore in Louisville. And then this will be a pass. So then in November, we are hosting a fireside lawn story, basically under the stars, and we're going to be reading two books and giving each family three books away, and one extra, along with s'mores and other activities. But community partnership goes a long way, and we've been able to really, you know, build bridges within the community when it comes to what we're doing. So
now, what age group are you all working with?
2 to 13 or newborn.
Zero to like the 12-13 age mm-hmm. is what we think is best, because you know, reading starts in the womb. For me, it did in our family. I mm-hmm. started reading to my son the moment I found out about him. Mm-hmm. And he loves books. He thinks books are cool.
Yeah.
He loves shopping for books. He asks for books for Christmas and birthdays. And so I feel blessed and lucky that he has this love for books, because it opens up the world, you know. And so we really encourage, even if you're little, because just opening the book, touching the book, feeling it, turning the pages, mm-hmm. hearing the sound – is important for those kids to grasp that at an early age and outside of the classroom in the home.
That's well, great.
I'm kind of like Jessica. I wasn't the biggest reader. You know, I read with purpose. You know, if I got something I need to accomplish, mm-hmm. that's what I'm reading. But I will remember when I was a child, there was a book that I read. I can't remember the book, but it was the material that interests me as opposed to just having to read. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back from the break. You are listening to Look Who's Talking.
This past year has highlighted the strength of Community Action Council. Every day, our staff works together to help families recover from this crisis. We're educating children at home and in person, helping parents who lost their jobs, and helping households avoid eviction. Our work at Community Action Council has never been more important than it is right now. So why not join us? We have employment opportunities requiring a range of skills from entry level to advanced. Apply online at commaction.com.
Community Action Council's Head Start programs are now enrolling for the 24-25 school year in 15 counties, including Lexington. Head Start offers high-quality early childhood education for qualifying families with children between the ages of 6 weeks and 5 years old. Spaces are limited and filling up quickly. So, to help ensure your child receives the Head Start advantage this year, start your application today by calling 859-233-4600 or go online at comaction.org. That's commaction.org.
Listening to Look Who's Talking, and today's highlight word of the day is
literacy.
Did you hear what we said? It was literacy. We silly.
All right.
So we, you know, I kind of softballed you into the break talking about the interest in books. You know, you have your reading material at school and it don't always fit with what I want to understand. So can you talk about some of that with the numbers of?
Well, let me say this. So I remember when I was a kid, like there were no books,
right.
Like none. There weren't any representation.
Yeah.
I was off of the Burstein Bears because, yeah. Like, you know.
I think the first character black I saw in a book was Tom.
I know you weren't going to say Tom Sawyer.
He'll
Snowy Day.
Huckleberry.
No, he wasn't.
Huckleberry Finn. Yeah.
Yeah, because
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Character is after.
No, I know.
Right?
Oh, but I was like, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
That's also why we do what we do, because
yeah.
That's not the most positive representation.
Yeah.
Show enough.
Is that a young black boy?
Show enough.
Exactly. Yeah. And when it came to when I found out about Black Children's Book Week, that was around the time in Head Start we were giving our assessments to our board and our policy council, and we saw that literacy amongst boys, you know, we're lower than girls,
mm-hmm.
but specifically the lowest was black boys.
Mm.
Right.
And that was something that was concerning. So, you know, after we took that information, our teachers, our education folks, we came and had a meeting and said, hey, how can we change what's happening in the classroom as far as the curriculum that's being taught to help our young little boys be able to read better or comprehend and bring our literacy or bring their literacy scores up? So, I think it's important to know the statistics. So getting to that, what are some of the statistics you all have found with black children, or I guess literacy in general when it comes to Kentucky.
Well, before we get into the numbers, it was something that you all said regarding you didn't find an interest in books, right?
Right.
And I think that's first and foremost, it's so pivotal when you're talking about literacy and reading, because when black boys have these low literacy rates, you have to ask yourself why. Yeah. Why are they disproportionately not able to read? Yeah. So you factor in reading, but you also have to factor in comprehension. Mm-hmm. So when we're opening books, and specifically in school, because that's where we're seeing that families are reading more, which mm-hmm. should be at home, but they're reopening these books and they're not seeing themselves,
right.
yeah. whether in a physical picture or just the situation, the text, right. the culture, the content.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that they can connect to. Mm-hmm. So then their interest just goes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that's what we're intentional about with black children in books, is having a variety of genres, focusing on positive representation.
Yeah.
Because like you said, your first introduction into a black character wasn't the greatest.
Right.
We don't want to push that. We want to have these children open the books, find themselves positively reflected, mm-hmm. so they can see who they can be. They can dream. They can go on these adventures with these amazing characters and find something that they like. We may not like the same books. I'm going to tell you all right now, Amber and I
do not
like the same books. But we love reading.
We love reading, yes.
Yeah, and we will
and
read
books. That's
a
community
books.
Within itself,
yeah.
like learning to agree to disagree. I don't mm-hmm. have to like what you read, but at least we're still reading. And so
yeah.
we share
yeah.
that time together.
And
now, Amber, you're an author, is that right? Did you say you was an author?
I am not an author.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yet. But that
okay,
yet.
Speak
right.
it.
Wait a minute.
Speak
wait
it
a minute.
But you
know, we are very intentional about the books that we put into spaces that we are currently trying to occupy. And so we have a bookcase right now within the Sharp Futures Middle School mm-hmm. Barbershop in Takes Creek called Creek Cuts. And so we were very specific about making sure that it was for young boys within the middle school age,
mm-hmm.
But that there was also a plethora of different types. And so, you know, we have representation. Everything that you see highlighted is a black character in a black authored book. But within that case, there are also books for, you know, the white male, the Hispanic male, and those experiences.
Yeah.
Because we are understanding that everyone wants to see themselves in books.
Being
exactly.
And so,
yeah.
like, inclusivity, being inclusive is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we try to honor that and pride ourselves on that, because we also know what it's like to not be included. And
yeah.
so we try to be very specific. We don't include. So I catalog, like, over 500 books.
Mm.
That we currently have in our collection.
Oh, wow.
And I have highlighted and read the books that are either about, like, slavery or growing up in a very impoverished area with rough life, or, like,
mm-hmm.
sexual harassment or,
mm-hmm.
you know, things
triggers.
That are just triggers.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that sometimes people don't necessarily always want to be reminded about
mm-hmm.
when they're reading a book.
Yeah.
I know for me, when I was younger, reading was an escape. And I don't
right.
want to escape away from the place that I'm trying
to
leave.
Your place.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I want to explore. I
landed right back here.
Right
back
here.
Right,
right.
So, you
yeah.
know, we want to let them know that they can travel, that they can become chefs, doctors, lawyers.
Yeah.
That is very important, to see yourself outside the scope of just the community that you grow up in on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to
yeah.
be very specific.
It is
which
funny.
Is why we, sorry, which mm-hmm. is why we start reading in these programs and these events, because we think it's important that you read at home too.
Yes.
Right,
because
right.
we understand that school may not be intentional about providing those
exactly.
specific readings. For instance, our bookcases, we have three as of last year. Since this will air, hopefully we will have twice or three times as
right.
many. But right now we have been intentional on selecting books that are on the banned book list.
Oh yeah.
Because we
yeah.
recognize the value and the importance. If you check out the banned book list, a significant amount of books are either black authored and or prominently feature black characters.
Mm.
So when we're already facing an uphill battle
right,
of representation,
right.
it just gets harder and harder
yeah,
for us
yeah.
to ensure that they're able to read positive things about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like Hair Love was
mm-hmm.
one of those books.
Right.
You remember how that blew up on
mm-hmm.
Facebook?
I did.
Because
yeah.
to see one, a black father, hello,
yeah.
we love that. And doing a little girl's hair and it's curly. It's not
mm-hmm.
something that society
it's
has
an
deemed
yeah.
Yeah.
acceptable.
Yeah.
yeah. And so that's on the banned book list.
Right.
Yeah.
We have to be.
Wow.
You know, and you ask
yeah.
yourself why. And then you also ask yourself, okay, well, how do we make sure that those are accessible? And I feel like that's really our goal. Like, we want the recognition of the community as far as to understand what we're doing, the importance of it. And because this is something that everyone can help with.
Mm-hmm.
Just make it, reading should be accessible for everyone. And we shouldn't
right.
have to go to Amazon or a bookstore two cities over to find someone that looks like us on the cover.
Yeah.
I mean, and even when you go to bookstores locally here, you don't see it. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, on our bookcases, those will be the books that are highlighted because those are the books that you cannot find anywhere else. And so
I'm still confused about Hair Love. I need to talk to somebody. When I saw it on that list, I was like, what's going on here? I was like,
and you know, I was trying to dress in character with the Hair Love, with the I Am Enough, because, like, you know, I don't have children, but I have, 2,000 children in the Head Start program. But those, like, there's one classroom in particular, a center, Russell School, and all the little black girls have their braids, and, like, they're in love with their hair. They're not ashamed. Yeah. And I can remember me, like, being like, man, my hair don't look right today.
Yeah,
why my mama do my hair
it
like this?
And
and I come in the classroom and I can wear a fro and they'll be like, I like your hair, Miss Jessica.
Right.
Or, you know, I can wear braids. Now, there was one little girl who said, my mama wear a wig too. And I hate her. But I could accept, it was funny, but it was like,
I mean, that's the culture, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I feel comfortable enough to say,
absolutely.
This is a wig, but I'm also happy that it's on my head. And I think it's beautiful.
Yes. And just realizing that the diversity.
Because
I think we need to talk about that with children.
It,
yeah.
Not just tolerating it or not just saying, these are the differences.
Mm-hmm.
We have to celebrate those differences.
Yeah,
those
absolutely.
Differences have to be positive when we see them. And so we may not see it on TV, we may not have that control, but in the books they exist.
Right.
You just have to find them, which is why black children in books exist.
And it's funny because like my granddaughter is experiencing some of this. She's in Scott County and she's at a predominantly white school. And so she comes home singing Taylor Swift songs and things, and I'm wondering, but there's a disconnect from her culture, and even in her reading material, there's a disconnect from who she is. So she's starting to adapt
assimilate.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pawpaw's like, no. So I done ordered her some books, and and you know, she likes those picture books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
But if you're trying to build your vocabulary and your literacy, it does. Mm-hmm. Because I learned that she's struggling on the books that she should be reading because she's looking at pictures.
But it has to start there, though.
It does.
You have to.
So what we've done now is every night we read a chapter together.
Yes. 15 to 20 minutes.
Yes.
It's so important. And, you know, that's why we let the kids also take home the books, because as much as we want reading to be a passion in the home, we also just want to increase the confidence to read.
Right.
Reading out loud is a huge confidence factor. You know, just reading in general is a huge confidence boost. But if you can do that within a group of people, there's no ceiling for you, really.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I feel like that in boosts the confidence not only of the child, but of the parent as well.
Mm-hmm.
In my household, my mother is dyslexic, and she is like on a seventh grade reading level.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there is a certain confidence with parenting that makes you feel like, okay, can I even teach my child?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, being able to give both the parent and the child a safe space and a book that makes them feel good to read together, it's just such a beautiful thing.
It is. Mm-hmm. And can I just say, parents, please do not be afraid to read that same book over and over.
Yeah.
Reading repetition, okay? Reading repetition increases comprehension. Let's say it together. Reading repetition increases comprehension.
Yeah,
so it's not just about reading the words. It's about did your child understand it?
Yeah.
And reading it over and over definitely helps that.
And that's an important piece. We have started rewarding our families with Head Start books. For reading. That's part of what we implemented for them to start, you know, reading books to their children, kind of developing a routine.
Yeah.
But also, we, you know, talk with the parents and say, hey, reading, if you have one book, that's fine, but we have a lending library where every week they get a backpack full of books.
Wow.
They take them home, they read the books, come back, and we, you know, switch watch.
Them
yeah. So, getting the parents has been one of, I think, our greatest accomplishments. Yes. Mm-hmm. Because if you buy the parents in, of course, you're going to have the child.
Well, what child doesn't want to hang out with mommy and daddy?
Yeah.
And that's when reading becomes fun, because I'm not doing this at school with a teacher who's maybe not connecting with me on a level that I want to be seen at, but at home. You know, that it, you can make it a game. Like when
or
an
event.
Or you
get to get sweet treats.
And it's so funny because my granddaughter, she is very artistic. And I told her, I said, you like the picture book, but your imagination is 1,000 times better than what they scribbled on here. And so we started the chapter books, and she was all reluctant and stuff. And now she's coming to me. It's like, we didn't get to read last night. Let's tell her to
paint a picture of what she sees.
Mm-hmm. What she sees.
There are so many books and so many fantastic authors that are very vivid in their explanation of the scene. I mean, you can almost paint it.
Always.
You know, and especially being an author, an artist, you know, those things are important. You just have to connect the dots. And I think, you know, to you all, what you're doing with your parents, Amber and I are trying to implement in Black Children in Books. We want to revitalize the accelerated reader program, but we want to be a little bit more intentional about the way we do it, the partnerships that we have with the organizations here. Mm-hmm. So we've already begun the workings of that program where we are incentivizing not only the child, but the entire family for reading together.
And
we're really excited about that. And hopefully by the time this airs, we'll have some more details.
Oh, good.
They can find it on our website at blackchildreninbooks.org.
Do you all have like a book list thing that you share, you know, because when I wanted to, and when Papa was buying books, he wanted to buy books that expressed our culture.
We will have those.
We will. So yeah, we will have a list. That's something that we're cultivating. And we are also, with our in-person event this year, this will be aired right before this, but going to have a Black Book Fair. And so that is something that we're crucial about. So those books will also be included on that list. But just also letting you all understand the plethora of, you know, small Black authors that are out there, because they're not all national heads.
Right. Exactly.
Right. But these people are writing some great books. And so we are actively, you know, trying to recruit all over the nation, just these small
authors.
So
if you're hearing this,
yes,
Black Children's Book Week Lexington will be March 1st at the Lyric Theater starting at noon. And we are looking for Black authors to come and set up at our Black Book Fair, because we want these children to be able to go home with tangibles. Yes. We want these families to be engaged, and we want to get to know you.
Yeah, I think that's great.
That's fantastic. So let us know where we can find you all, what we can get in touch with you. What is your, we don't have that yet, do we?
No, we do.
Oh, okay, let's get it.
Yeah, stay ready. blackchildreninbooks.org, and you can find us on Instagram, Black Children in Books, and Facebook. So right now we are in the process of changing our Facebook name, and Facebook is giving us a hard time. So by the time you hear this, I hope it's fixed. If not, it's Black Children's Book Week-Lexington. But hopefully that's been fixed, and it will be Black Children in Books.
All right. That sounds like an amazing time, an amazing event. You got something about It's Lit. What is that?
That's our slogan.
Yeah, in our accelerated reader program.
Yeah, so it's a spin on literature, because this is all about literature. But it's also a good way to tie into how the kids are kind
of
talking these days.
Of
and
the
so
kids.
Yeah.
It's lit.
Yeah, meeting them where they are. I think that's the most important piece, is figuring out how we can connect with them. And we thought It's Lit was perfect.
And we will soon enough have merchandise for sale. So
she's talking about the merch. Look, she's already trying to make sales. It's time to go. No, but thank you so much, Asana and Amber, for being on today's show.
Thank
a wealth of
us.
Information. And
this was good. I like this show.
I see us working together, trying to get the same goals accomplished.
Absolutely. We look forward to it.
All right. That's the show.
All right, y'all.
Y'all know what to do with that Head Start word of the day. And we're going to have a nice little prize connected with that.
Yep.
If you know what to do, do what you do. All right. You have been listening to Look Who's Talking. We'll see you when we see you.
Bye, y'all.